tidings, my dear Mr. Chapo. Tis I, your favored rival, Gorka. Enough of the pleasantries, Mr. Chapo, for I tire of your insouciance in your refusal to admit that we are locked into the great game of our time. By the time this universal serial bus stick reaches you and you've decoded the message, Mr. Chapo, you will find that events have gone quite splendidly according to my predictions. I trust you have decoded my encrypted message with alacrity, but not nearly enough, Mr. Chapo, for as I've said before, I'm playing many moves ahead, and the game is far ahead of where you understand. But I like sport, and therefore I'd like to catch you up, Mr. Chapo, on the action of the chess game on the board before us, you see. Because perhaps you do not understand, but what we do, Mr. Chapo, is play chess by post. I, Gorka, versus you, the Deep State. A recap, Mr. Chapo. Michael Flynn has fled. Spicer has been sacked. Rince Priebus has since left us. Of course. Scaramucci, the clown, has been dismissed and slapped. And that brings us to Bannon. Bannon, Mr. Chapo. Bannon is slain. Hail the Vitesi Rend! These pawns have been removed from the board. Trophies of Gorka's silent victory. Shall Kushner be the next? I shall like to see him flee. Why don't we have a meeting of the minds? I've said it before. Look, I'm afraid my previous invitations must be rescinded, but I urge you, hail a tram, Mr. Chapo. Hire a livery, handsome. Why don't you beckon a Benz and hop on Pop down to Northern Virginia? Where the combined forces of the rescendant Confederate States and the Vitesi Rend of the Magyar Hun shall rise together. While you are catching up with my chess play, I have already unfolded a game of backgammon, and you will quickly understand, Mr. Chapo, that we have been gammoning this entire time. The Danube shall dance over your graves, Mr. Chapo! The day is nigh, Mr. Chapo. The day is nigh, and you shall tremble before my next great plan. You may see me seemingly fall in defeat, but Gorka is in command of the levers of power. Mr. Chapo, I urge you, with all of your mental faculties and all of your might, to try your best to decode this message. And that is Sun Tzu, my new project, the Solar Uranium Nuclear Test Zone Ultra. I shall not disclose its location, Mr. Chapo. You shall have to find it. For it is part, all is part, of my great plan, Gorka. Government override, radioactive kinetic annihilation, Mr. Chapo. I leave you to your hunting. I leave you to decode the impossible riddle that I have given you, Mr. Chapo. And in the meantime, Mr. Chapo, wherever you might find me, you will not see me. I hope you like to dance, Mr. Chapo. Won't you join me at the Danube until our next meeting? Hail the Vitesi Rend! Hail the Magyar! Hail Attila the Hun!
Dun 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 d Is Baked Alaska live stream for me joining ISIS. Let's get those hearts going. Yo, right here, yo, what's up, my man? This is a Turkish border guard. I'm gonna smoke a cigarette right quick so he, you know, thinks I'd be doing haram shit. But yo, really, I'm gonna be a holy Ghazi warrior for Allah. Yo, let's see what my people are saying. Baked, I hope your suicide vest works. Baked, any honeys down there? All right, yeah, all right, I love you guys. Okay, they're making me turn my phone off. Word, peace.
If Salam. Bake did join ISIS and base, he would, like, fake his own suicide bombing.
No, he'd be like, this is Tony. Just want to say that Baked, he became a glorious martyr this morning.
Keep those hearts going. Donate to his GoFundMe for his glorious funeral. We're going to march his casket through the streets.
Yeah. Shout out to the Ummah out there. We're keeping it real.
Yo, new Nasheed dropping on SoundCloud.
Yeah, let's get it going, friends.
Let's go.
It's your chapo for this week. Let's just start things off.
Yo.
It's me, Will Menaker, here with Matt and Felix.
Hi, everyone.
We got a mouthful of Dunkin' Dough. Oh. We're fucking with a dunk right now because our guest, Joe Mandy, brought us some donuts.
Yeah.
Joe, what's going on?
How's it going? I'm happy to be here in the trap.
We're happy to have you.
Thanks.
Yeah, we've had a long-standing argument about Dunkin' Donuts on the show, and I've just been proven right that it's great. And
I have
all
to say,
you were happy.
This is better than I remember, and I think it might just be that I was getting the wrong one.
There are, yeah.
I was going with the custard, and it's not good.
Oh, that's where you're fucking up.
Yeah, I feel like when we were in D.C., though, I was really hungover, and I got one of the breakfast sandwiches. I think that was my mistake.
Yeah, that's because
I can't just have, like you know, just a donut. If you're hungover, I don't know. That's me, though.
Yeah, I feel weird about buying meat from Dunkin' Donuts.
Where are they getting that shit?
Yeah.
That's a supply chain I don't want to follow
exactly.
To its source.
That's why I stopped eating from Subway. That and, you know, they were very unfair to my friend. But,
I did a stand-up show like 10 years ago, and someone came up. I did a joke about Jared Fogle just being like... you know, whatever. It's a strange person to just choose to be your spokesperson, your corporate spokesperson. And then someone came up to me after the show and was like, I went to college with him and he ran like a porn ring out of his dorm room.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
He just like had like a VHS, a porn only VHS store. Yeah. Being run out of his dorm room.
His dorm room. So totally that wasn't
entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
What's so crazy is
this one.
The Subway relationship with Jared Fogle, it literally was like the Vatican in that they had people saying, yo, he's coming to our stores and he's being really inappropriate with our younger employees. Yeah. And they're like, don't worry about it. He's getting married. Well, he'll settle down. But it's like he's just a fucking, like, he's a nerd. He's just some weird nerd. And they're like willing to look the other way at like a potentially disastrous sexual escapade because we can't lose Jared.
Well, okay, well, like the Vatican, he also helped a lot of people.
That's true.
Yeah, arguably more.
Yeah, he had a foundation, the Jared Fogle Foundation.
that later became the Clinton Foundation.
it was dedicated to getting children fit and hot.
Yeah.
It's like this childhood obesity epidemic is a tragedy. These kids are not fuckable.
Yeah. Bill Clinton was soliciting Qatari donors for $30 million for child P90X.
He was always wearing those like fat pants to show like how much weight he lost, but it's like just so he could fit a child in that gap.
See how many of you can get in here.
Well, his lawyer actually argued in court that losing the weight and going on the Subway diet like made him into a molester. Like, he actually said that.
Joe, before you came over, we were talking about another celebrity, another YouTube celeb.
Another misunderstood genius.
Yeah, we started off, we were talking about Baked Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, as a fellow comedian, I'm sure you respect his work.
I'm more of a Millennial Matt fan.
Millennial Matt,
I just saw the first video of Millennial Matt. How do these guys with these speech impediments...
It's amazing.
It's like, how do you get the balls to go out there and be like, I'm going to gaff the undesirable Thucker and Thuckatast. White supremacy.
I'm a jokester. Which is what we all call ourselves.
Yeah. I like japes.
Yeah. I'm just a cut up who appreciates white birthrights. Right. That's it.
But like, yeah, like, okay, so that's his material. He's going after a specific audience, yeah. A niche audience.
Yeah.
But, okay, so like, first of all, we were talking about, did he pepper spray himself in that video that everyone's watching?
Yeah, you don't see the spray happen. At all. Like, it just starts, he's been sprayed, and then he's demanding milk.
And then he's like,
and
fucking,
like, but the thing is, that video is hilarious.
The entire time.
Yeah.
How would that, and since his, like, obsession with, like, they're the real bad guys, they would be like, this is the guy who did it. I saw him. He looked like, even if he didn't have a video, he'd, like, be talking about who did it. Instead, he's like, he has sunglasses on, and then all of a sudden, he's like, oh, my eyes.
Yeah, he's famous for his sunglasses.
Yeah.
He has a shield for pepper spray as his brand.
I mean, he did go, he's, like, still in the hospital, right?
I think he's in his mom's house or something. I mean, like, how he's, like, his grandmother has a Craftmatic adjustable bed, and he's in that, like, in the hospital, fam. Pray for me.
I would love it if my house was, like, a hospital. If it was so much like a hospital that people thought I was in there, well, I would get.
Well, Felix, your house is like a hospital in that, like, I got MRSA the last time I stayed over.
Well, you probably brought that in there with you. There's nothing wrong with my place. If my place looked like a hospital, I would be DMing girls all the time.
No, it does. Selfies. It looks like a Victorian sanitarium.
No, it doesn't.
It looks like the place that they took, like, people with tuberculosis to die.
It looks like where Frasier would live if he had a podcast.
Like a last hospital in Syria.
and God willing, the only one.
the funny thing about Baked Alaska being at his mom's house, did you see that thing where he was like, just got kicked out of an Uber for being racist?
And then, like, among us.
And then the Uber official, like customer service account replied to it, and they're like, Debbie, we take your concern very seriously, because it's his mom's Uber account that he was using.
That is so funny.
But, like, so, like, the interesting thing we were talking about, like, Baked Alaska, not just as a hilarious video prankster that, like, maced myself for a social experiment, like, and then yelling, give me milk, was hilarious. But
what is my people saying?
That's that is the question of 2017.
It's my favorite song from Les Mis. What is my people saying?
Do you hear the people scream? Giving the hearts of angry men.
But, like, the funny thing about him is, like, literally 2 years, like, now he's on this, like, white power shit, but, like, literally 2 years ago, he was a SoundCloud rapper.
And before that, he worked at BuzzFeed, right? Like, making, like, listicles.
And I think it's funny, it's just, like, I think he inhabits this weird space of, like, a guy who would, we were saying, like, in an alternate universe or, like, in a slightly different timeline, would be, like, the puck. Like the standout asshole on a reality show, and he'd get famous like that. But he's too late for that.
Yeah. Right.
And as Matt was saying, too late for Vine.
Yeah.
And now he's just like, I'm going to be famous just being like the alt-right celebrity.
Totally. Also, like, everything he tweets, all these white pride tweets are geotagged with Burbank, California, which just sort of negates the whole. Like, I've been driving around LA and, like, have driven by the CNN headquarters and seen, like, Baked Alaska, like talking into his phone with, like, four people around him. It's just like, yeah, he's just like every clown in LA trying to get famous with no talent.
I think that, like, this last week, it's gonna be the getting off the train part for a lot of these guys. Like, for the guys who sort of came in at either because you can't be a Vine star anymore or just, like, irony and loneliness, it kind of got too real for them this week. And you saw, like, he had that tweet from the hospital where he was like, yo, we got to come. We can't call other people SJWs. You can't call us Nazis. We got to come together as America.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, to do what? Like, we're all going to stream? Like,
To peep his page, to keep those hearts coming.
But yeah, no, together. I mean, he's probably going to become, he's going to convert to Islam.
Yeah.
Is the next thing.
That's cool.
But what we were saying is that, like, these guys, they kind of bitterly yell at people who don't have Nazi views, who are in media, like, oh, you get to be public.
Yeah.
You are given these advantages. But the thing is, that means is that there's, like, there's a bigger pool of people, and like you have to have some sort of talent or ability to sort of be noticed. Whereas this is such a self-selected small group who are willing to be known as the Nazi streamer, that like you can be a completely talentless shithead with a hilarious speech impediment and be like one of the most famous ones.
Unlike with us, where I'm literally the best podcaster who's ever lived. Literally the best at the art form.
Yeah, it's like you just have to want it enough to not give a shit that people think you're a Nazi.
Well, also, I mean, just conservative comedy in general is so whack that, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, like, what was that show Fox News tried to do, like, a daily
half
show?
Hour news hour?
Oh my God, that was fascinating.
That was my favorite
show.
You have
nothing to criticize. You have no take because you're so entitled. You know, it was fascinating, and like, and he. Yeah, that tweet where he was like, we all have to come together. He literally wrote a song, like a 10-second jingle that was the 14 words. Like, did you see that video? He like made like a graphic with the, it was, yeah.
You know, you mentioned like there's a lot of talentless shitheads in LA just looking for that one bite of the apple. But there are some very talented people who are making it. And of course, I'm referring to Jake Paul.
Our boy, we got into media the same time as Jake Paul. We're so happy to see our friend make it.
have you gone to the Jake Paul YouTube teen neighborhood?
Oh, I haven't. I mean, like, I will say in his defense that, like, the when they interview the neighbors and they're like, this is, like, such a nice, that's a shitty neighborhood to begin with. Like, yeah. I would never live over there. But, yeah, I haven't been there yet. I would love to. I don't know why the LAPD hasn't like set up a sting for all the statutory rape that's clearly happening in that house. Like, it's just like 13-year-old girls hanging out outside, and they like let them in. And
yeah, they need to get that girl who was like the decoy and to catch a predator. You know, the one who kind of looked like Punky Brewster. Who would open the door. And then she'd go, oh, yeah, I'm going to go get the lemonade.
Right.
And then Chris Hansen would come out. They need to bring her in there with the power to arrest and tase these fucking guys.
But, Felix, were you telling me that it was either Baked Alaska or, like, the Proud Boys, like, hanging out the Jake Paul team?
Oh, yeah,
like
Red Pill. Someone told me that, like, Proud Boys were there trying to Red Pill children, which is... I am so happy that we're at the point now where children figure so much into this.
Is it like
Trump is always retweeting children who compliment him, which makes him like Jake Paul. Because if you look at Jake Paul's timeline, it's all like girls who have all the members of One Direction who fave them like in their name.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't believe the haters about Jake Paul. And Trump, that's exactly what Trump does. Like Jeff Tutorials and that other child who are like, Trump rocks. he puts them out there. But yeah, they were trying to like, I guess the Proud Boys were there like.
Is it a chewable red pill? If
it's the red Flintstone vitamin. The red gummy vitamin.
Yeah.
But they were like trying to tell all these children about like FBI crime stats, which is...
It is
going to
be
really
interesting
cool.
When the Jake Paul mansion goes the way of Waco. And like they send in the tear gas and it starts on fire. And he's like, keep the hearts coming, fam.
Yeah. he's going to be exactly like David Koresh, where it's going to be like, yo, Trump is just jealous of how charismatic Jake Paul was going to be.
And like the Janet Reno of this disaster will be like, he lit those mattresses on fire himself. Yeah. It was a prank, okay?
But that's the thing. It's like we look at these mutants, these horrible fame-starved weirdos on the internet, and we're like, these guys are horrible. But like, guys like David Koresh were just the earlier versions of them that didn't have the technology. Like David Koresh would have had a Periscope if he was around now. Jim Jones would have a fucking YouTube page.
Social experiment, killing the congressman.
Yeah.
But Felix, you posted something earlier today where it's just YouTube screenshots, and like you're like YouTube is just the seventh level of hell. It was just it was social experiment abducting a child.
It wasn't just abducting a child. It was
Salads, right?
Yeah, abducting a child in front of his dad.
Oh my God.
And it was like a social experiment, Muslim suicide. Will anyone help? And it was just like a guy in like, you know, wearing like, I don't know, like traditional Muslim garb sitting on a bridge. Just
they're all so good. I mean, the best one, the one that like sort of made that genre stop for a little bit was One of the guys, it wasn't Jake or Logan Paul, it was one of like the more indie, like the Velvet Underground of that scene, did a video called Prank Killing My Best Friend. and they like, they legitimately convinced his other friends that he had killed his one friend.
Guys, today I'm filming a crazy prank. Kobe is in on the prank and Sam is getting pranked. Let's see how he reacts to his best friend of 5 years being killed in front of him.
It's from you. You got the wrong guy. No. He's everything I have. No. Oh my God.
And people are like, that's too fucked up. Like, you have to stop. But like anything, if you just pretend it didn't happen for long enough, you can go back to doing exactly the same thing. And I'm glad, because I have wondered my entire life, what would happen if you kidnapped a child? What would happen if a Muslim man committed suicide? What would happen if I killed my best friend? And now I know. Like, people would be upset.
Along those lines is sort of like the proto proto internet of like spectacle of shame and exploitation. Joe, I did want to talk to you because I did hear that you got your start in showbiz.
Uh-huh.
Interning for the Maury Povich show.
That is correct.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude.
So yeah, you were you worked with Maury.
I did. I went to Emerson College, which is like a real like it's a media school, right? And they have like this internship program they're very proud of, where you get internships at like, you know, movie studios and news networks and all that stuff. And I had to do an internship, and I didn't take it seriously. And apparently one night I wrote, like at 4 a.m, I wrote this insane heartfelt email to just like the general like info email address at Maury Povich, explaining like how important Maury was in my childhood and all this stuff. Like, and then in the morning I woke up, I got a phone call and this woman was
that
like,
morning
the net yeah that morning. So like I sent this email like in the middle of the night. I was woken up by a phone call from the internship, the woman who ran the internship program at the Maury show, and she was like, "That's the best cover letter I've ever read. Like, we love your passion. You're hired." And I was like, "Where?" Like, I didn't even remember.
My life for you, Maury.
Yeah, I mean, every other cover letter they got was probably like, "Yo, I've hated fake ass people my entire life."
Yeah.
So yeah, this is a good like, you know. If you have any college student listeners, this is a good like success mindset tip.
Yeah. Write us letters saying how important we are to you, and like maybe we'll let you work for us for free.
Yeah. It was bleak.
Really?
Yeah.
You surprised me.
I can't believe that.
It was. They now shoot in Stanford, Connecticut, I believe.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
At the time,
he's still going too, yeah, which is amazing. Incredible. Yeah.
You know, he just loves playing golf like that. Like, mm-hmm. He was annoyed that he had to like come into the city for like 2 hours a day to like do this show, because he just wanted to be golfing. He had literally had like a plaque on his door that said, "I'd rather be golfing."
Wait a minute. Maury Povich doesn't have a passion for DNA tests.
Yeah, he really, I mean, he puts on a great show, but he doesn't know what's happening until like they hand him.
Like,
the,
what were some of your duties as a Maury Povich intern? Well, did you have to wrangle the fat toddlers?
Those were the best.
Yeah.
We don't do the fat toddlers anymore. This fucking sucks.
Those were the
Thanks,
best.
Michelle.
They're coming back, folks. Folks, the fat toddlers, they're coming back. Yeah. Get rid of these awful school lunches, and Maury Povich, he's gonna have the fat toddlers.
He's gonna
again.
Take the kids downstairs to Sbarro and force feed them garlic nuts.
Well, they would like film them like in front of like so those were right. Staged.
Yeah,
right?
So I thought that was going to be my job. And,
toddler wrangler.
When I showed up, it was sort of, they were on hiatus. So there was no production. They were just like getting ready to shoot episodes. And so like my job was myself and like the 10 other interns who were just like, they were all just trash from Long Island. Right? No one talked to me. And our job was just to sit at a phone bank. It was very like Orwellian. Like, we were at this phone bank with a giant poster of Maury like looking down on us. And like the phone would just ring all day. It was that 800 number that would be like, if you know,
yo, my kid's fetish.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if when an episode would air, that phone number would come on the screen, and then like we would just have to like take the phone call, transcribe the details, and then, like, you know, kind of say what episode it would be relevant to. And so I couldn't deal with the phone calls, because I actually, like, my first week, like, there was a day where a woman called. It was a paternity test episode, and she asked me if you could get me. This is fucked up. She asked if she could get a paternity test on an aborted fetus.
Oh my god.
And I was like, no, you can't. And then she's like, why not? And I was like, because that's gross, you know. Well, she was like, she said that she checked with the clinic and they, like, kept it there for a week or something. She was like, there's time's a ticking, but, like, I need to know, because this guy says he wasn't the dad. And
it's really just, you know, for my own curiosity more than anything.
We have a betting pool.
Well, that's bleak. I mean, yeah, and again, not surprising, because Maury did, you know, really mind the just absolute,
yeah,
just the dregs of humanity.
My favorite part of the 800 number, though, was that anytime you picked up the phone, you'd say, like, Maury Show, and the person always would be like, hey, Maury. Just assume that Maury answers his own 800 number.
That is the best type of person. Like, the type of person who thinks that, like, if you call the White House visitor line, Trump will pick up. Yeah, yeah. I'm calling just to vote for you again, sir.
But, I remember. So the fat toddlers were amazing, because kids were
they were so huge.
Like, their face was like squeezed shut. Their, like, eyes couldn't even.
It was like somebody put compressed air in a Cabbage Patch Kid.
Yeah,
it was awesome. And then the best was the parents who were defiant.
Yeah,
like, right. My baby's beautiful. If he wants pizza, I'm gonna give him pizza.
Well, it was like a freedom thing. It was like when I was a kid, I remember, like, I couldn't eat all the cheeseburgers, and so now I'm like a parent and I want to give my kid all the cheeseburgers.
Yeah, it's like these kids are all parented by, like, Tom Hanks from Big.
Right. Like,
they're just still 13 years old.
There was the defiant ones, and then there was the ones who were, like, afraid of their large toddler, and they just didn't know what to do. They were like, when he just asked for the pork crackling, I just have to give it to him. I don't know what to do. It's all he eats.
Maury, like, look, we can, you know, talk shit on him as much as we like, but he did bring to light one of the biggest modern issues: people who are afraid of their fat children. And that's like, dude, that's the biggest issue in America.
Did you ever have to, like, because, so I remember he got in trouble relatively recently. There was a sexual harassment suit because of the sexy decoys.
Oh.
Did you ever engage with the sexy decoys?
I never engaged. There was I did have an experience once where, like, when I realized that no one was, like, monitoring me going in or out. Like, there was no structure to the internship program. So after, like, a few weeks, I just stopped showing up. I was just like, no, everyone here hates me. I stole a bunch of mail. I made a scrapbook. And I got what I needed out of it. But then I also, I had, like, a VIP card. So my friends and I would, like, you know, get drinks and then, like, go see Maury tapings. And there was a tape, my favorite, other than the fat kids, there was also Geek to Chic, which was, that was great, because those were people who were bullied in high school and then, like, became strippers. Yeah. They wanted to, like, confront their bullies. And my friends and I, we were sitting in, like, basically the front row, and there's, like, a red carpet. There was, like, a catwalk that they set up for, like, the chic women and guys to, like, strut their stuff. And you were told to, like, really whoop it up when they walked by. But I was right by the red carpet, so when the first woman walked down in, like, her bikini, I did this bit where I was, like, cowering in fear just because I thought that would be funny. And Maury stopped the taping, right? And he was like, Joe, what are you doing? That's a beautiful woman. Right? And then the whole crowd went crazy and started calling me gay. And then they had to like start from one and like redo it. Then I had to be like, yeah.
And then, like, there's like the audience participation, be like, yeah. I just want to talk to that skinny guy with glasses in the front. I'd be thinking you gay.
Yeah, it was a powerful moment to have a whole crowd of Maury just turn on you like that.
I think we need more handies and less Joe Mandy's. the one that really sticks out for me, though, this is the absolute worst, and this is really dark. Maury Hanna on Progeria Kids.
Oh, man.
Like a little girl who looks like she's like 95 and like, you know, tiny. And like Maury was doing his like, you know, compassion routine where she was like, they made fun of me in school. And like, and Maury just got real close to her and like put his arm around her. And he was like, why did they laugh at you? Tell me. And it was just
those episodes were rough.
Because I look like a sexy from fucking Dark Crystal. Yeah. Why do you think?
Yeah. And then they'd be like, here's a fire truck. Yeah. Like, there's nothing you can do. So it's just like, here's a toy. Yeah.
Oh my God. In a similar vein, Danny, you guys remember the Richard Bay show?
I was just gonna bring that up.
Yeah, Richard Bay was sort of, that was my favorite. He was like the really like the he was the pioneer of that like trash. Well,
wasn't he like
daytime
Australian
talk show
or something or British?
I don't remember. All I remember is that it was very Maury like Jerry Springer where it was like
audience participation,
kind of like dysfunctional families yelling at each other, but. Maybe like a quarter of the time they would be like, okay, well, you know, this is really upsetting. You guys really need to come together. And then they would set up like a double dare course and they would have to like, like rummage through like a inflatable pool full of like Jello to get a flag. And they would like work together. And I found that sort of beautiful.
Oh, that's what people mean when they say come together is America.
I can imagine on that couple's 50th wedding anniversary, their extended family's there to hear the story of their life. And they're like, it wasn't always easy. There was a period there where we were really struggling. But then we went on the Richard Bay show.
I mean,
that's how John D. Rockefeller got the money to start Standard Oil.
I remember he would have the Mrs. Thunder Thighs competition. You know, the Thunder Thighs competition. And I remember he had one episode that was a panel discussion between black people who think OJ is guilty and white people who think he's innocent.
That's genius. Actually.
Oh my God.
I wish I could see that. Is that still anywhere? Is that like,
I don't know.
Is that on YouTube? Cause I'd watch that right now.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's real prestige TV.
Yeah.
That's like, that's fucking with your perception, man. Yeah. Like that's just like,
oh, they're like the anti-hero. OJ is the anti-hero.
Well, it's like that Van Halen song right now. The video for that, you know, do you ever see
what was that? Oh, I just remember it was the song for Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah, and it debuted after the Super Bowl.
It wasn't just like a lyric video?
No, it was showing you things and then reversing your expectations.
Oh.
So like there's a black guy like running away from a woman and like you think that he stole her purse, but then like he's chasing a white guy who actually stole her purse.
Oh.
Damn. Okay.
Oh, that's dude, that's fucking awesome. How about check this out? It's a soldier surrendering. You think there's a gun on the other end, but he's surrendering to a book. Guys, ever think about that? It's about ideas.
Yeah, just this whole the 90s were just, you know, now it was such a bygone era when like
what a horrible time.
When Van Halen was going to be like, we're going to confront some issues.
Oh, man.
It's like a bunch of people like figuring out, sitting down and being like, we're going to figure out racism while wearing co-ed naked lacrosse t-shirts.
Oh, I mean, Crystal Pepsi is also sort of like that. You think it's Sprite.
Oh, yeah.
But then
dude,
it's cola.
It's a fucking Banksy soda. But I mean, yeah, the 90s, more movies were made in the 90s about like white and black people. Like,
yes.
A white guy having to be
white
a black guy.
White man's burden. Yeah. John Travolta.
Oh, yeah.
In a world where white people are the oppressed ones and black people are the privileged class. And Harry Belafonte is like his racist black boss.
Oh, it's Harry Belafonte.
John Travolta is his like poor, struggling, repressed white employee. And he takes him hostage and shows him how the other half
lives.
But the other half is white.
I just sold that show to HBO.
Matt, I remember that movie. And the best part about it is not only are like white people the oppressed class, John Travolta goes all in on talking like a black guy.
Yes, he does.
Wait, they talk like...
Yeah. John Travolta, he really goes...
Yeah.
It's incredible.
He does like a weird, like a patois almost. Oh. It's really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. But the thing is...
That's a movie that's worth revisiting.
It is. We should watch it.
Okay, that's a great idea.
But the thing is that at the end... they realize that they're not that different.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, that was the moral of all those movies. Like,
every movie in the 90s was about like a woman and a man switching places, like a woke blackface type thing. And the moral of all of it was like, yeah, guess what? We're all the same thing, human being. And that's the that is the cultural legacy of Bill Clinton. More than anything.
Well, it was. It's just like the 90s were like this decade where everyone was like, you know what? I think we're going to figure everything out.
Yes, it was end of history time.
I think we've really, we've ended all of this stuff. It's just really the details. And if we can sit down and then 9/11 happens and, oh, we're insane morons and this was never going to work.
It was like
we were fooling ourselves.
Yeah, the thinking was like, well, we balanced the budget. Now now we're going to balance the races.
And it was like, and yeah, and like we as a nation would like come together after the Super Bowl and confront our issues in a like sort of 20-minute music video, be it the Van Halen or the Michael Jackson, It Don't Matter If You're Black or White. Right.
Yes.
Which was controversial because like he grabbed his crotch and threw like a garbage, he vandalized the car in that video.
Yeah.
Also, it does seem to matter if you're making yourself white, actively changing your race.
It's like let's look at the amount of money you've spent in the last decade.
Exactly,
it clearly matters a great deal to you.
Yeah, and end of history, baby.
Yeah, that, now it's back. History's back, baby. It's good again.
Yeah, what a great time. Like I was like 9, like when Bill Clinton's presidency was ending, and I remember like. I grew up in the type of household where we listened to NPR, and every NPR report was like, a scientist thinks he has a gene that can gene therapy that ends poverty. And it was like, yeah, just 2 years later, it's like, oh, we weren't even like close to fixing any of this shit at all. Like, fuck NA.
I was talking last night about how it is kind of weirdly, like morbidly exciting to have Nazis back in the mix, you know, like as a Jew, it's like, I never actually thought my whole life I would have, like at Hebrew school, like these Holocaust survivors would come and like tell us about Nazis and stuff. And it would be like, it all seems like theoretical. I'd be like, yeah, that sucks. But like, we figured it out and now they're back in a big way. It's pretty cool.
we should do like another, like, all-star celebrity sing-along, just condemning the alt-right.
Oh, that's going to happen.
Fight song part two.
Yeah, no, there's going to be like oh, God. It's being planned right now. It's
Will I Am is on some kind of like, Jesus. Like, what's that movie that, the Tom Cruise movie where the screen. Minority Report screen, and he's like FaceTiming 25 other musicians.
It's gonna be called like Erase the Hate.
This is gonna be the biggest song.
Kenny Chesney is gonna publicly apologize for the accidental race.
All the voice judges will do. thing.
There's gonna be T-shirts. It's gonna be sponsored by Goldman Sachs. It's gonna be awesome. Oh God, damn it. I'm already mad about this thing that hasn't happened. Yeah.
I do that all the time, buddy.
I wanted to bring this up, Joe. In light of your comedy bit about betraying America for China, in the coming war, North Korea, it was a bit of a hot spot. Now it seems to have died down again. But they're talking shit again, and they're only talking shit because they got China backing them up. Yep. You know, they're like, hold me back, China. Hold me back.
Yeah. It's like an NBA fight.
Yeah. Exactly. So
I think we should acknowledge that that we're definitely with Joe in that if there is the war with China, you go with China.
Yeah, Team China. Just put that in your profile. I have it in my Twitter bio in Chinese. Just what, like, I'm on, I, yeah.
We could
just
be.
Put it on the record. I love you, China. I love you, China.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, just the numbers favor them. They also don't really have a podcast industry, so if we go over there, like,
yeah, they have like Chinese Twitter, but like they don't even have Chinese weird Twitter. We could.
Oh my God! Yeah. Yeah. Who's trying to get sucked off in the Romance of the Three Kingdoms? Because it's like a billion people, that's like.
easily like 5-digit.
Another 100 million subscribers.
Yeah. Oh my God. Cha-ching.
I had a friend who did a, like, the big, there's like one big, like, Entertainment Tonight type talk show in China. And it's,
so that's what communism is like, by the way. There's only one Tonight show.
Right. You have to wait in line to see Jimmy Fallon on the one TV in the country.
It is strange, but like, he said that they came in and then you're just on the show for hours. And you have like a earpiece and there's translation, but you never know what's really going on, and it's like endless and there's no real commercial breaks, but like sometimes if he couldn't hear the question, he would just get up and like start dancing, and like that got a rise out of people. And but like it seemed like a train wreck. And then afterwards they asked, like, well, you know, who watches this? And they're like, oh, 400 million people watch this every night. Like, more people than even live in this country watch this show.
Shit, I could do that. I could look disoriented and occasionally like flail around.
If we even had like 10 minutes of prepared bits, they would be like, holy shit, what is this? This is amazing.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Yeah,
we're moving to China, folks.
We're gonna be the biggest podcasters in China. Yeah. We're gonna do our first live show, and it's gonna be like the Harvard show, but we're gonna be taking down Taiwan.
Smart.
Yeah, those fucking assholes over there. Yeah. God, I hate them. Yeah, we're gonna like, there will be a slight switch. Instead of yelling at, like, you know, neolibs and conservatives, we're gonna get really mad at people who don't honor their ancestors.
Yeah, right.
What the fuck, yo? They gave birth to you, okay? They're why you're here. You respect them.
Yeah. We're doing a reading series on each one of the five black categories. Landlords, revisionist academics, business owners.
Time to call Chapo death threats. Sparrows, you're fucking done for.
It's going to the Lin Bao death threat segment, just named after Lin Bao.
Yeah.
I do see a path, though. Like, did you see the Stephon Marbury thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's like the Michael Jordan of China. They wrote a musical about his life, and he's the star of the musical, and he doesn't know what's happening, but he just comes out and, like, dribbles a basketball while people, like, dance around him. And the guy's like, I think that's... Yeah.
Starbury, baby.
That's the move.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so... Oh. This is such an untapped market. We're doing it.
Yeah, imagine when they make the musical about our lives and it's just Hamilton because there's no copyright protection there. Oh, man, people are going to get so mad at us. But China's going to be backing us up. They'll be like, no, fuck you, it's ours.
And they're going to wheel you out just like gaming.
Yeah.
You'll be on a lazy Susan with a video game console. You don't even get up.
The crowd's going to go fucking
jumping
nuts.
Around you and shit. And you're just like getting your kill streak going.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they wheel us out and we're just tweeting.
They have faster internet there, too.
Chapelton.
We will have to wear powdered wigs, though, as a nod to the period.
Absolutely. But also, another hilarious thing to come out of increased tensions of nuclear war between America and North Korea is the hilarious phone call between Trump and the, I don't know, Governor General of Guam. Yeah. Who's ever in charge of Guam? I don't know. Like, what do they have over there?
The governor or something.
He's the mayor of Guam.
He's the mayor of Guam.
Yeah.
He's the comptroller of Guam.
Yeah. And so, like, basically North Korea was threatening to, like, I don't know, set off a nuke next to Guam or something. What are they saying? Are they doing a military exercise?
They were going to, like, shoot missiles at it. Not nukes, but just missiles.
Into the ocean near it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just
right outside. It's, you know.
Exactly. Like a cowboy, like, shooting at your feet kind of thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so our president called the mayor of Guam to reassure him. And there's a Facebook video of the mayor of Guam receiving this phone call from him. And one of the things Trump says is, like, this is going to be great for you because your tourism is going to increase by 110%.
He just made up a figure?
Yeah, he said, you know, believe me, like, your tourism's good now. It'll be even better. After everyone's talking about Guam, but like everyone's talking about Guam in the context of a nuclear holocaust,
right?
So
that's how I go. That's, you know, the best way to go on vacation. Like, dude, I got to make it there. It might not be there next week.
Yeah, but I mean, the guiding principle of Trump's life is, hey, all press is good press.
That's true.
So it's like people are talking about Guam. It's on their lips. They're going to want to see it.
No one has ever vacationed in Guam. It's just like an Air Force.
It's just an Air Force base. Like, yeah.
But like, now he's probably right, because there's you know, there's a part of his base that now feels compelled to vacation in Guam. You know, it's going to be all these like redhead idiots. Like,
yeah, because they don't have, they have the, like, no tourist infrastructure. It is just, yeah, it's a military base in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And so like next week, 500 perfectly round dipshits in red hats are going to come off planes. Like, okay, where's
Senior Frogs?
Yeah, where's Senior Frogs? Yeah. It's like, well, we've got a PX here if you want to buy a soda.
Deplorable Jeff is just going to beat sea turtles to death. Like, that's gonna be the new, like, it used to be Deplorables, then it was like, you know, MAGA Chris, but their next thing is they're just gonna get Guamean naming conventions.
But yeah, if we could,
I'm
just
covered with crabs to own the lips. Yeah.
They hate it that I'm here.
We could just get more of these idiots to like vacation in more and more dangerous and remote areas until they're all getting
killed
by pirates and dying of sepsis.
The Guam Tourist Board, this is their new ad running in select markets in America now. It's just the Sarah Connor dream sequence from T2 of her on the chain link fence, and it just Guam. More people are talking about it.
My favorite, though, is that this was a while ago now. I mean, it feels like 5 years ago, but it was only a few months. It was after the Hawaiian Federal Circuit Court struck down the Muslim ban.
Right.
And all these MAGA chuds got really pissed. And they were talking about how I'm never going to Hawaii. And one of them even said, I canceled my trip to Hawaii, and I'm going to Galveston, Texas, which has a beach, but it's literally covered in like tar balls from the BP oil spill. It's like you can't go in there and not come out like covered in like a viscous glue.
I don't know, man. It's just like body parts from when Robert Durst like killed him.
Floating trunks. Robert Durst, former landlord. Is.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I've been to Hawaii, and it's like, who's to say that it's any better than going to a Whataburger and getting into a fist fight with somebody over whose number got called? Which is what you can do in Galveston. It's, you know, different vacations for different people is what I say.
Yeah. I mean, who's to say it's not every bit as fun to just go to every Starbucks in Manhattan and make them say Trump?
That's like the ultimate MAGA vacation is like, cancel your tickets, go to Galveston, buy Kellogg's while you're there, flush them down the toilet. order a bunch of Ubers and cancel them because Travis Kalanick left Trump's business success win advisory board where like a bunch of people from failing companies tell him how to be president.
Dump all of your Merck pharmaceuticals down the toilet, then die of hypertension.
Yeah, and then with your dying breath go into Starbucks and be like, my name is Michael Flynn. Triggered.
By the way,
triggered.
What the fuck is this business advisory board?
I was just talking about that last night. It's the most annoying. Like, there's this board of like 50 CEOs from like Campbell's Soup and Burlington Coat Factory that like tell Trump how to be the president. And everyone's talking about it like it's normal. Like, it's just very regular that the CEO of like fucking Under Armour is like, well, I make really, really tight shirts for guys that don't work out. But here's what you should do in Yemen.
It's like that is what Under Armour is.
Yeah.
Under Armour is like workout clothing for very sweaty men who don't work out, but like sweat a lot.
A third of the photos I saw of the Charleston douchebags were wearing Under Armour shirts.
I got to get some of this shit because I sweat like crazy and I never work out.
It wicks away. Yeah. It just wicks away moisture.
I got to wick the moisture away.
It was like a huge deal when Travis Kalanick from Uber left, and it's like, the company run by sexual predators that loses $700 billion a day. Like, oh, I don't know what Trump's going to do without his expertise. I mean, I guess they're running the exact same enterprise, more or less. But yeah. Like,
it's kind of a redundant skill set there. You don't need him when you've got Trump in charge.
It's like a tortoise telling a turtle how to be a turtle.
Yeah. But what the fuck do they, like, do they meet? Do they have a giant, like, they do.
Yeah,
they
do.
They do because they were introducing them once. This was like right after the president, the inauguration. They introduced everybody on the thing, and they introduced the Campbell Soup CEO, and he famously said, good soup.
Good soup, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So they do. They get around a big table. What the fuck? What are they? I can't even imagine what that, like, what that conversation is.
Sir, my name is Rick Kravis. I'm the CEO of Burlington Coat Factory. People come into my store and there are just fucking coats everywhere. Nothing is where it's supposed to be. People yell at me all the time. And I just want to say, we need to do something in Syria. Rick, it's okay. Your store is fine. You're going to pick up the coats.
Mr. President, you really need to focus more of the budget on loss prevention.
Yeah. Mr. President, the Geek Squad is here to see you.
Speaking of... Uber loses what they're losing money as their business model.
That's it.
Yeah. And I just read the other day that Netflix is like $20 billion in debt.
Well, that's because there's
is that because of you, Joe?
Yeah, did
you see that? How much did your special cost?
They gave Chappelle, I think, $20 million per special. They only gave me like $10 million. But I'm not at the same level. Yeah. They buy everything.
The thing is, because there's like no taxes, you know, and all of the money is concentrated in a very small number of people, they have more money than they literally know what to do with. And like, there's no real place you can get a guaranteed return on it. So like all of these web-based companies are just like, hey, you can give it to us. Maybe in 10 years it'll be money for you. And they're like, well, I don't understand any of this shit. And I just have a giant Scrooge McDuck fucking vault full of cash that I never would use. Here, you can have it. So like, yeah. So their models are basically trick idiot venture capital millionaires into giving us all this money. And then eventually we will monopolize our field. Like Uber's idea is we'll be the only transportation company in America, and Netflix is we're going to be the only entertainment company in America. And then, but then, like, even if you did that, how can you make the money back? It's like, okay, Uber just took over. We lost $20 billion taking over transportation. Now a half mile ride is $500.
Yeah.
It's like, how the hell you can't make it back?
The Netflix model is, it seems to track with the same line as like overpopulation, because they just want everyone to sign up. That's like the whole thing. Like when I went in there, they showed me like your special's going to come out like at the same time all over the world. And they showed me a map of like where Netflix exists, and it's everywhere except for China and Syria. And North Korea. And I was like, well, like the three places I shout out.
That's actually what the Syrian civil war is over. It's Hulu versus Netflix.
Yeah.
But like, you know,
it's the Tutsis and the Hulus.
And the Kurds are Twitch.
Which is why we support them.
Yeah, 100%
with
them.
That's why we're backing Twitch.
Kurdish Gamers Alliance. Yeah.
Twitch is the one where you just watch like Soulja Boy play video games.
Yep.
I've done that.
Yep.
I don't. That one is. That's like one of the ones that makes me feel totally disconnected from anyone younger than me.
Hold your
tongue.
Bite your tongue.
You watch people play video games.
Well, I like doing that when I was a kid. You know, you go to your friend's house, you watch them play video games.
You like watching me play.
No, that's horrible.
You do. You were the last time you were over. You were like remarking at my sniper ability. I remember you saying, "I thought Chris Kyle was dead, but it seems he lives inside my friend."
Yeah, I was saying that while covering my entire body in Bactine.
Joe, are you a gamer? Do you game at all?
I play just NBA 2K every year.
Oh, are you one of those jocks?
I'm a jock. I'm a big jock.
I'm something cooler than a jock. I'm a troop.
Yeah.
I literally don't have the dexterity to play like the first person shooters. I remember I bought that game Hitman when it came out, and it gave me like a panic attack, cuz like there was like a heartbeat sound effect, and when you were like closer and closer to like the mark that you had to kill, like it would, my actual heartbeat would match the one on the screen. I was like, I can't do this. I'm gonna have a heart attack.
Well, that's like why they're hard now, is because like now that I'm like in my late-ish 20s, I'm playing against 14-year-olds who have amazing reflexes,
right,
and just play these games all day and just constantly getting fucking destroyed by them.
I heard recently that like in the world of esports, like there is like a peak, and it's like once you're over 26, you're like done. You
Blue
can't
Factory.
Play. Yeah.
Time to liquidate that gamer. I mean, we could send him out to stud to create other gamers. But
well, that's not going to happen. Yeah. We know that.
They're like pandas.
Sending him out to stud is you collect the Mountain Dew bottles fucking soda from their couch and you send them to a lab.
Yeah, this is $100,000 a pop for this high quality gamer seed.
I can't play like the shooters, because like at a certain point, it's people trying to shoot at you, and it's very agitating. Yeah. It's like
it's
there's
cool.
bullets coming at you. It's like, oh, what are you doing? That's mean. Stop it. I didn't ask.
I mean,
yeah. I'm just a recruit. I was drafted into the, into this military. I'm just a doughboy. Leave me alone.
Well, yeah, you know, but there needs to be people that stand up on that wall. It's not going to fucking be you. It's going to be me taking those virtual bullets to the face from children.
Child soldiers.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's, we're
Felix is leading
generation.
The Lord's Resistance Army.
We've got a generation of kids who, like, in terms of the amount of violence they've witnessed, are basically like Liberian child soldiers.
Ladies, call me Jason. Call me Coney, because the last guy who tried to stop me ended up jacking off in public.
God, whatever happened to that guy?
He jacked off in public.
What's he doing now, though?
You don't really come back from that.
Trump's president now.
Like, he can come back, right? Yeah. Honestly, Coney 2012 guy, if you're out there, come to the pod.
I'm gonna find out. I'm gonna find out right now. So you guys.
We should exploit all our contacts to find this guy, because he it's a very 2012 mindset where it's like, oh, I can't have a public life after I jacked off. But it's like, if he worked for the Trump White House, that would be the least fucked up thing that anyone had done.
Just talking about him right now, it's going to happen. Like, I did a joke about the cannibal cop, and then he tweeted at me, like, thanks for the shout-out. I was like, it's way more than a shout-out, my man. I made fun of you for about 15 minutes.
not guilty, by the way.
Yeah.
Not guilty. You can't send a man to jail for fantasies.
Are you guys hanging out later?
I mean, he lives in Staten Island.
Yeah, of course
he does.
He was, like, probably a Trump delegate.
Yeah, who knows? He's just like, you know, he's just an NYPD officer. Like, his whole Twitter account is just like talking about like Aaron Judge's batting average or whatever.
I actually went as Cannibal Cop for Halloween the year that happened. I just had a cop hat and a uniform and an apron with fake blood on it. It was pretty good.
Kiss the cook.
I like the Cannibal Cop because everyone's like dumb cultural image of cannibals is Hannibal Lecter. Like, they're like, oh, it's the cool kind of sociopath, the one who reads Plato. But really, it's just like some dumb fuck from Staten Island.
Hey, get over here. Want to take a bite out of you.
Yeah, most of the time it's just like...
Gabagool.
Yeah, it's a Gabagool guy.
The Coney guy's Wikipedia page, the last entry is him jerking off in public.
Oh,
wow, man.
He's off the radar.
And just like that...
He's gone. 2012. In that one, he thought that the internet, get jacking off and be having it recorded on the internet, would ruin him for life. And two, that the internet could actually make the world a better place. And it's like, no, on both counts wrong. All it can do is give marginal careers to untalented shitheads, and nothing matters. So yeah, he needs to be reacquainted with the new fucking internet where there's no rules. Nobody cares if you jack off.
We're really talented people like us have careers.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
I mean,
best people ever in media.
All I have to do is, like, social experiment. I jacked off in public in San Diego.
But, like, the whole thing with that, someone must have dosed him, right? I think that was some Coney. PSYOP shit, right?
Yeah, Coney did it.
Coney did?
Yeah.
I think it was the company. That's all I'm saying. I'm just putting it out there.
You're saying
wouldn't
that,
be the first time.
Coney is like a CIA guy, so they needed to protect him.
I'm saying that. Absolutely 100% true right now. Coney is a CIA asset. They dosed him. This is not satire. This is 100% real. And next, I want to accuse a private citizen of helping orchestrate it.
It was a false fap.
Yeah. Speaking of other guys in the Trump administration, who's the guy who had the child out of wedlock and was like tweeting about it?
Miller. Or he was Jason Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was going to be the comms director.
Right.
And then that was right when AJ Delgado basically came out that he had impregnated her. And then he was like, I'm going to spend more time with my family having really awkward silent dinners.
Wasn't she like subtweeting him?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, congratulations, Jason. And there's an article came out about how like she's now been ostracized. Like, she's out of the White House. She doesn't have a job. She's got the scarlet letter on her now. And she's like, I don't understand why these reactionaries are so judgmental that I had a baby out of wedlock with a married man. She was like, she was in the Trump campaign, but this happened right.
She was like a talking head,
and this happened
but
this happened right at the transition. And like, Jason Miller was set up to be comms director, and then there was this weird subtweet that's like, oh, he clearly fucked her. And then it's like, I got to go. I'm done. And then she was just like, yeah, they put her on an ox cart and sent her out to the edge of the village where she's been residing alone in an awful cabin.
Yeah, it's like Italian Big Brother. Like the Italian version of an already horrifying reality show. So double bad. And yeah, I think we were talking about this once, how like they should redo the West Wing with the same music and like camera work, but with the Trump White House.
Oh my God.
Because yeah, the best thing about this is it destroyed it for all the people who are like, that is the office of the president. You have to respect it. It's no, you don't. You don't. People are just having psychotic paternity test arguments. Like Steve Bannon is like, yeah, floating on the ceiling like Baron Harkonnen.
Jason Miller is calling Maury and going, can you paternity test an aborted fetus?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like they took the people who called Maury and just switched the line to, hey, you want to work? work in D.C.?
I think that's a good place to tie things up now. Yeah. That really, like the 90s have, I think, come full circle. I think this is like the true legacy of the 90s is now being fulfilled.
Reality bites. I'm just going to say it.
Well, it's Adam Curtis going, something strange happened. After Maury went off the air, everyone became Maury.
All right. Till next time, guys.
Goodbye.
Cheers, Joe. Bye. Thanks
very much, Joe.
This is great.